Good to see everybody back today. Good to have all of our visitors with us today. We just have several of our family back with us, and we're glad to have y'all here this evening. Good to have everybody that's always so faithful in attendance as well. We were looking in our Bible class this morning from a lesson on leadership. It was from Leroy Brownlow, and I wanted to continue that this evening because it was really, I felt like, an important lesson, and I didn't want to just leave it where I left it this morning, and it was really, I believe, conducive for a sermon as well. And so I wanted to start where we kind of left off this morning, but the idea the lesson was there is a problem of leadership there, and you can see that in just about everywhere you look. If there's a leadership deficit, if you want to call that, within different areas of the country, whether we're talking about government or whether we're talking about business or wherever it is, then you have a problem. And certainly if we have a leadership deficit within the church, there can be a problem as well. One of the things that I think we all have to be on guard about, though, is the idea that, well, we've got some that we're going to call our leaders and have leadership responsibility, but then that takes away my leadership responsibility. And I'm not talking about me individually, but each one of us individually. We have certain areas in our life where we just have to take the initiative. And when we do that, really good things can happen for the church. And so I wanted to look at several passages tonight that are important as far as our ever becoming the type of leaders that we need to be in our own lives. The first is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 1. Very short passage, but the Apostle Paul says, "Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ." I think one of the most important understandings that we can have when it comes to leadership is a leader is not worth following unless he follows Christ. And so, and this is especially true within the church. If we have somebody who is wanting to take the lead for themselves, or if you or I decide, well, I'd like to take the lead in this, but our main motivation is not, I want to find out what Christ wants me to do and then do it because I'm going to follow his teachings, then we don't need to even start. When we talk about taking the initiative for ourselves, we really are talking about this principle that Paul talks about, follow my example as I follow Christ. If you and I are following Christ, then we have something that is worth other people following. But if we don't, then we can become very dangerous. Well, how do we know if somebody's following Christ? Or how do we know if we are? And the answer is, that's why it's so important to study the Word. 2 Timothy 2:15, you know this passage, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, and who correctly handles the word of truth. One of the ways that we can see in other people whether or not they're going to be an effective leader is whether or not they're effectively handling the Bible or not. But do we see that in our own lives? Do we hold others to a different standard to where, well, I want them to follow the Scripture, but when it comes to what we want to do, we just want to kind of go in our own direction, and we want others to acquiesce to that or to just go along with it. The only way we can know if we're following Christ is if we have read the words of Christ. And so it's so important for us to stay within the Scripture. And then it's important for us to be able to handle it correctly. You've probably heard the old, or something along the lines of this old joke about a Boy Scout that goes to the Boy Scout meeting and he's just all beat up. He's got bandages on and a sling and he just looks really rough. And somebody says, "What happened to you?" And he said, "Well, I was trying to help a little old lady across the street." And so, "Well, did you get hit by a car?" And the answer is no. She didn't want to go. Well, part of wisdom is, or part of knowledge is, the ability to use it. You have to know when you're a help and when you're not a help. And so sometimes you want to help somebody who frankly doesn't need it or who didn't think they need it. If it's your children and they don't think that they need it, well, you still have a responsibility. If you're a teacher and these people who are in your class don't think they need your help, you still need to help them because you have a different responsibility there. But when it just comes to our everyday lives for Christ, if people don't want the help, then you have to excuse yourself from the situation. So we need to have wisdom to go along with our knowledge if we're ever going to be able to take the proper type of initiative. But in Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 5, Solomon says this, "Get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget my words or swerve from them. Do not forsake wisdom, and she'll protect you. Love her, and she'll watch over you. Wisdom is supreme, therefore get wisdom. Though it costs you all you have, get understanding." Now, the interesting thing about wisdom is while we certainly can and are commanded to pray for it, we also have to seek it out within the Word of God. As we seek out the knowledge, we also are trying to find out how God says to use that knowledge. And so it's something that is going to take great effort and a lot of times great thought in addition to that. Sometimes, again, we think because we have an opinion that that's wisdom. Well, that may or may not be true. But a lot of times when we see people who are wanting to take a leadership role, and that's a good thing, but they're wanting to have you lead in an area that they think is important, it's not necessarily from wisdom that they think that. They just have an opinion. Everybody has an opinion. And everybody's opinions, quite frankly, are the most important thing to them when it comes to whether or not they'll accept something. You know that, and I know that's true. But we need to make sure that our wisdom comes, has the source of God's Word. Then we can go about doing the things that we need to do. Well, what are some of the things that we need to do? There's a few examples that Leroy Brownlow used within his book that I wanted to share with you. One of them was a man by the name that he referred to as Brother Dean. Brother Dean rode into Fort Worth, Texas sometime probably in the mid-1850s when it was just getting going. There was a fort there, but the rest of it was just pretty much a place where they grew wheat. Brother Dean came in to help with the harvest. He was getting paid to help with the harvest. But they said he had a pistol in one saddlebag and a Bible in the other saddlebag, and while he helped with the harvest during the day, he didn't stop harvesting at night once the sun went down. Instead, he preached the Word of God. Well, as he preached the Word of God, as he was there through the harvest, there were some 8 people who became Christians. And so when he left Fort Worth, he left the first church that, at least according to Leroy Brownlow, that ever existed within Fort Worth. And it wasn't because he was getting paid for it, because he wasn't getting paid to preach the Word. It wasn't because he was sent to do that, because he wasn't sent to do that. He just took it upon himself because he saw people who needed the Word preached to him, and he just did it. This is what we're talking about when we talk about individual leadership, is we're talking about this taking the initiative in our lives. Actually seeing a need and then doing something about it. And that's why knowledge and wisdom are so important, because we're able to ascertain those things. Leroy Brownlow also talked about his first gospel meeting. He said it was a year after he became a Christian. He was 18 years old when he did his first gospel meeting. And he said he came to a community that didn't have a church present there. He had borrowed some books and he had borrowed some benches. And he took a piece of cardboard and with crayon he made a sign inviting everybody to a gospel meeting. And you might think, well, that's a lot of audacity for an 18 years old. And I suppose that was to a certain degree. But for 10 nights, he gave a gospel meeting. And at the end of those 10 nights in that little community, 18 people had become, well, 14 people had become Christians. And so he, just on his own, decided this community needs the gospel and I'm going to bring it. And he did. And he left behind a church that was established. A young church, but it was a church. And again, this idea of taking the initiative is very important, because without that, How will we ever help people? If we're always waiting for somebody to tell us what to do, or if we're always waiting for somebody else to do it, how can we possibly ever help people? And so that's why it's so important to have that mindset. In Romans chapter 1, verse 21, the importance of sacrifice is introduced as far as this idea of leadership and taking the initiative. Romans chapter 12, verse 1, Paul says, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship." maybe one of the most difficult things about taking any type of a leadership role is the is how much it will open you up to criticism. Some of the criticism will be very fair. Some of it may or may not be fair, but if you're going to take the initiative on something, you have to be prepared for criticism. And so that's part of the sacrifice you'll make, because that's a sacrifice of what you might think is your reputation. But if you're following Christ, that's not going to bother you. People can have their opinion about you, and it shouldn't bother you nearly as much as what Christ and what God think about you. And so as we talk about this idea of taking the initiative in our own lives, it is going to take sacrifice, a living sacrifice. There are going to be things that we have to do that cost us time. Reading the Word of God and studying the Word of God take time, and that means it takes time out from something else. Everybody here has got 24 hours a day. When it comes to time, that is the great equalizer in this life. Now, you may have already filled your time with previous commitments, but that doesn't for a moment mean that you don't have the same 24 hours that everybody else does. You have to decide to the best of your ability, and you get to what God wants you to do with that time. But if you're going to reach out a little bit more and try and serve God to the best of your ability, you're definitely going to have an idea of sacrifice behind your time, where you're willing to give up certain things for God. This is your spiritual act of worship, this idea of living, being a living sacrifice. And we know that the idea of being a living sacrifice has a million different elements to it and a million different things that can come into that sacrifice. But those are just two, your reputation and your time. And there's so many more than that, but we'll leave it at that for now. The next thing that taking initiative or having an individual leadership is the idea of that you take courageous stands. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 13, Paul says this: "Be on your guard, stand firm in the faith, be men of courage, be strong." Now, there's a lot right there, but I can tell you this, if my kids grew up and I could take those, whatever that is, 13, 14, 15 words and say these apply to my children as they've become young men and young women, I'd be really proud of them. And I feel like they have, quite frankly, but isn't that what we want for our children? I have an idea that every woman who is married here wants that in her husband, and I have an idea that every man who is married here wants that in his wife, and those who aren't, who are seeking that, are looking for that. Be on your guard. Stand firm in the faith. Be men of courage. Be strong. That's what leadership takes, is that type of courage and strength and faith. And if we can do that, then we're going to have that ability to maybe step out and start taking some leadership in areas that we need to take leadership in. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 13 says this: "It is written, I believed, therefore I have spoken." Well, think about that for just a moment as we start getting into this passage. We are talking about conviction, are we not? "I believed, so I spoke," Paul said. "It is written, I believed, therefore I have spoken. With that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak." It didn't just apply to the ones in Old Testament times. It applies to us as well. It didn't just apply to Paul during the New Testament times. It applies to us as well. "With the same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore we speak." Without conviction, you'll never take the initiative to do something important. And let me tell you how simple that can be. That initiative can be something as simple as just inviting a neighbor to come to worship with you. That initiative can be something as simple as inviting one of your family members who you know are not Christians or who you suspect are not Christians to just sit down and have a Bible study with you. That takes conviction, though. Unless you believe first, you'll never reach out and do that. It's also going to take this courage and faith and strength and being on guard that we looked at in 1 Corinthians. But he goes on to say this: With the same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you in his presence. That's an incredible faith, and it's the faith we need. We need to understand that God, the God who is powerful enough to raise Jesus from the dead, will also raise us. There is a fact about the Scriptures that maybe we miss sometimes as far as importance, but one of the most important things about Scripture, one of the most important truths about the Gospel, is the resurrection. Because without the resurrection, we don't have any basis for our faith. But since Jesus was raised from the dead, then we have a hope of salvation. This is the conviction that we have. But we also have an assurance. We have a knowledge. This is really going to happen. There's going to be a judgment someday. And not only am I going to kneel before God, my children are going to kneel before God. My wife's going to kneel before God. My friends are going to kneel before God. Everybody that I come in contact with is going to really kneel before God someday. This is not just a life where we're just chasing paper, whether it's money or degrees or deeds or whatever it is that we're chasing after. That's not what this life was meant for. This life was meant to point to that day where we rise again, to when our new life really begins. This is important, what we're doing right now. As a matter of fact, our eternity is going to hang on what we're doing right now. But this isn't the reason we were created. We are created to raise again, to walk in newness of life with God for all eternity. I don't know what eternity is going to be like, but I can tell you for a fact that you don't design something to be long-lasting and throw it away after 2 seconds. God did not design us to be eternal and then this be the main thing, just to toss us off and start over again. He's got something in mind. I believe, therefore I have spoken, means we have a conviction about this. There's another illustration that Leroy Brownlow used in this particular lesson, and it was about a farmer in Grayson County, Texas. And this farmer was a neighbor to another man who had a real antagonism towards the church. He had a deep-seated prejudice against the church. And so the farmer was never able to share the gospel with him. But what he did do was, when that neighbor who was so antagonistic got sick on his farm, and he noticed that the sick neighbor's crop was starting to develop a lot of weeds, and he knew what it meant if he didn't get his crop in, the Christian took his sons and the men who worked for him, and they went out and they took care of the field. And then after the field was taken care of and it had grown up, they harvested that field for him. The man who had been so antagonistic for so many years and who had had such a deep prejudice against the church looked out the window during this time that this was happening, and he said to his wife, "You know, when they have a meeting this summer, we're going to it." And they did. And they became Christians. And it took, because not only did they become Christians, but when that man and his wife moved away, that were now new Christians years later, they moved up to the Northwest to a place where there wasn't a church, and he established a church there. And then after he established that church, he was able to get time on a radio station, and he started preaching the gospel on the radio and influenced no telling how many thousands of people. All because his neighbor took the initiative to say, "I'm going to live the Christian life. It's not just about preaching, it's about doing." And so he did. That's what we're talking about when we talk about taking the initiative. You don't even have to teach in order the gospel in order to take the initiative in an attractive way. You can just live the Christian life. And while we don't want to ever fall into the trap of doing everything by example, we don't need to forget for a moment how important example is. And you can see from this illustration how effective that was. Well, there's a couple more examples I want to present to you, and then we'll close. But the first one is Cornelius. And just think about Cornelius for a moment. Cornelius was the first Gentile to whom the gospel was taken after the cross. And Peter was very reluctant at first to go there, but he was convinced by a vision that he had seen from the Holy Spirit, and he went. But an angel had also appeared to Cornelius, and Cornelius knew that Peter was coming. And so in Acts chapter 10 and verse 24, it says this. The following day, this was the day after Peter had had his vision and after people from Cornelius' household had invited Peter. The following day, he arrived in Caesarea. Cornelius was expecting them and had called together his relatives and close friends. This is one of the most important areas of taking the initiative in a Christian life. It's sharing the good news with others. Cornelius could have just monopolized Peter's time had he chosen to. He had that right to do it, but he didn't. He called together his relatives and his close friends so that when Peter was there, there was probably as many people as would fit so they could hear the gospel. And we all know what happened after that. While Peter was preaching the gospel, the Holy Spirit came upon them. And when the circumcised believers, those who had been Jews who were now Christians, saw that, they realized that the gospel was intended for the Gentiles as well. And so they baptized these Gentiles and they became Christians because of their faith and because of their obedience to the gospel. But this was because, in large part, because Cornelius wasn't satisfied to keep it to himself. I think this is one of the most important things when we talk about our individual responsibility. We can, if we want, just keep everything to ourselves when it comes to a religious point of view. You can study on your own. You can read on your own. You can pray on your own. And all these things are good. But if you keep it all to yourself, it's like having a pantry just filled with food in the middle of a famine and watching other people starve to death and doing nothing about their needs. We need to have enough within us to take the initiative to where we reach out to try and help people. Not everybody's going to be able to be helped. Not everybody wants to be helped, but some will. And we never know how far just taking a little bit of initiative on our part and taking a little bit of a leadership role on our part in actually becoming a leader of men, at least in small areas or large. We never know how far that'll go. But don't we want to find out? Invitations open this evening. If you'd like to respond to the gospel's call and become a Christian tonight, we'd love to help you with that. If you need the prayers of the congregation, we'd also like to be able to do that on your behalf. Just come forward while we stand and sing.